The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're tuned into Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry, and I am only sitting in for a few moments this morning, on behalf of Mr. Newry, and I'm so glad for this opportunity. I had a show earlier this morning sort of lined up. I thought it was an important discussion, particularly because of the importance of this conference, the importance of the government setting a great impression with the first regional climate change conference. But I'm glad I have this space because there was so much in the newspaper today that I wanted to talk about and last week. And if I had to put a title on what it is I wanted to talk about, it would be duty of care. And do we understand our duty of care in our communities and to each other? And so I was very pleased just now to be informed that I have a guest joining me this morning, a regular on the Guardian platform, Mr. Wayne Johnson. Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
I'm really glad to have you. I don't know if you understand what it is you want to talk about today ties in to what I wanted to talk about today. And you are representing Wayne Johnson International this morning, right?
Yes, yes, ma'am.
So when you gave me this flyer and signature talks,
yes,
I am the CEO of me. Mm-hmm. And the first thing it made me think of is this phrase I use. I say people get the governments they deserve. That's why I govern myself.
Right.
And governing yourself, learning to govern yourself, is like understanding that you are the CEO of you.
Absolutely.
Right? It is. You are in control of everything.
Absolutely.
And that right there, particularly coming out of what I like to sort of call a patronage culture, colonialism and enslavement,
yes,
it's very important to understand that you have that capacity, that you can be the CEO of you.
Absolutely.
You can govern yourself, and you can negotiate virtually every situation that you enter. So I'm so glad to have you join me this morning.
And I'm so glad to be here.
Right.
I'm very, very glad to be here.
Absolutely. And let me just read this. I am the CEO of me. No one determines my destiny. I write my own checks, I place my own time, and I control me. You are the CEO of you because you are in charge of you. Now, I come at it sort of from the advocacy perspective, mm-hmm. But tell me, what is this idea rooted in for you?
This idea is rooted in for me in that what we have is a spirit of dependency culture, where people depend on people. You have the system of dependency.
Uh-huh.
And so when you create innovators, the persons who are innovators and creators, they are the ones who make markets. They are the ones who grow opportunities. They are the ones who grow economies.
Mm-hmm.
When there's downgrade, deficits, and defaults, how do economies get out of the recession? Economies grow, economies innovate, and economies be able to shoot up to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And so information and systems keep you trapped in a game called capitalism. If you don't understand this game called capitalism, you'll be capitalized upon. And what does that mean? If you don't become a manufacturer, distributor, or a producer, you'll never participate in economic life. A consumer is what you are, and a consumer is what you'll be. You'll only be a consumer.
Wow. Wow.
And so I've always been a creator. Yeah. I've always been a creator. I've always been a maverick. I used to play basketball. I used to play sports.
Yeah.
And so what sports teaches you about? Failure, disappointment, getting back on your feet, starting all over. And so my partner and I, years ago, when we came back home from school, we were one of the first Bahamian groups. We led a contingency out of New York. We were trying to raise over $700 million. The government is talking about refinancing the debt of the Bahamas.
Uh-huh.
We had raised over $700 million with a group of bankers out of New York to help us refinance the debt of the Bahamas, but they didn't go with us. Okay? because they say who your guys is and where do you all come from.
Right.
Then we led another initiative where we had the first FX exchange in the Bahamas, the first foreign exchange license in the Bahamas through the Securities Commission, being a forerunner with that. And so we was getting ready to set up a foreign exchange pipeline where foreign exchange trading portals would come to the Bahamas and set up shop. And now what you see happening now is you have this proliferation of FX, or foreign currency trading companies, setting up in the Bahamas at an exhilarating pace.
Right.
We were the first Bahamian company, Executive Forex Group, Mr. Pyrus Simmons and myself. Also, we had the first prepaid debit card called Easy Bonds Global Payment System back in 2007. So everybody's coming over with these new cards. We were there before our time. And,
right.
And what happened was, sometimes when you're the forerunner, you get penalized because of your innovation.
Right. Well, and also, it takes so long for the culture to catch
yes.
up with the cutting edge.
Yes, with the cutting edge stuff.
Yeah.
And so what happens is, having my degree in international business and management from Columbia College, I came back with a mindset of things that was wrong and how we could fix it, how we could make it better, how we could improve the Bahamas, how we could make the Bahamas number one. And so my whole idea and goal was, when I went into these meetings and had these presentations, I came in there as a person who, I'm from the Bahamas. I think this can work for us. I think this can make our country number one. And it took a crisis. It took going through the crisis, going through Dorian, for us to start to implement these things and make these things a reality.
Yeah.
Right here on the show with Lester R. Cox, years ago, we talked about cryptocurrency and how cryptocurrency is going to be a major state. And now what you see happening now with cryptocurrency in the Bahamas is cryptocurrency at a big exchange conference here through FTX. You had a lot of different things going on with cryptocurrency. You see the Bahamas now has become the major hub now in the region when it comes to this kind of thing. But years ago when we was talking about it, Bahamians say, oh, this is not going to work. It's not going to happen. And so we always late to the game.
But that was me. That was me. I was saying that.
No, that's fine.
Yeah,
but also what I want to say is too, back in 2002, 2003, I had an e-commerce seminar at the Hilton. E-commerce in the Bahamas, a revelation or revolution. And so people say e-commerce will never work. Oh, Bahamians will never shop online. Bahamians spend over 20% of our GDP is spent online. We spend over $2 billion online.
Right, and that's global, right? That's sort of spending in and out of the country.
Amazon, we buy from Walmart, we buy from eBay, we buy from all the major distributors online. Bahamians spend money online to buy goods and services. During the pandemic, they were still shopping, getting their stuff brought in by the freight forwarder. And so now, what you see, this evolution that is taking place in our country, that is getting ready to change the dynamics of our country, and we always trying to play catch up. But you know what happened? You know what happens with this?
Yeah.
Somebody explained it to me. If we don't have somebody from the outside come and tell us what to do, ain't no Bahamian who grew up in English thing to tell me what to do.
I mean, that's a part of it, because I trying to be a part of the global world, and you from Anglistan, you ain't part of the global world. How you understand that?
Right.
Not realizing that the same opportunities that you had to get out of Lizard Lick Alley is the same opportunity that they had to get out of 3rd Street, the Grove, right?
Absolutely.
Like, that it's not exclusive to you or your clique. It is a potential that anybody could have, right? Experience is an opportunity that anybody could take advantage of if they're in the right place at the right time.
I believe so. I believe that no matter where you come from, I believe if you get an opportunity to where you could be able to get all the tools, have the tools of engagement, know what to be able to do, know what the rules of engagement is, I believe I can compete. It doesn't matter where I go. It doesn't matter what platform I'm on. I believe I can compete. I believe I can do well, and I believe I can succeed. But see, you can't put the barriers out there does not allow me to be able to participate, because I don't want to just participate as a spectator. I want to be an owner. I want to be a developer. I want to be a distributor. I want to own this process. I don't want to be one of those persons who is looking for somebody to give me a job and punching the clock. I want to be a part of that process. And a part of that process is owning the economy and owning that distribution network, owning that pipeline, owning that situation. I want to be a part of the ownership economy. I don't want to be a part of the consumer economy. I want to be a part of the ownership economy.
Okay. I love that. I'm going to write that down. The owner economy, right?
Yeah, the ownership economy.
Now, not everybody could own. There's only one pie. Not everybody could own 100% of the pie. And if everybody owns a piece of the pie, does that diminish the value of the pie? What about those people who don't want to own anything? Like, I don't want to be responsible for anything but myself. Can I survive in your mindset, in your environment?
But see, the thing about it is,
yeah, yeah.
years ago, people who invested, let's say if you had invested $1,000, you didn't know what Bitcoin was. You had invested $1,000 in Bitcoin as a novice person, don't know nothing about technology, don't know. 4 years later, the $1,000 investment is worth over $4.4 million today. And so people, when opportunity knocks, people have to be ready. We got to get out of this mindset that, okay, I'm waiting for somebody to do something for me. You got to get up off our laurels. We got to put ourselves in motion. We got to roll up our sleeve, put our nose to the grindstone, and we got to get to work. What happens is we have this culture in our country, this dependency culture, and the spirit of laziness that entraps us because we're waiting for somebody to come and rescue us.
Yeah.
If the boat is sinking, I can try to get out there and swim. I can try to get out there and try to find a way I can get to shore. Some people be waiting for three boats to pass us. We can help you. I'm waiting for the fourth boat. Now, the three boats are already past you. Yeah. They saying, we can send you the raft so you can come on our boat. No, I'm waiting for my cousin. My cousin say he coming to get faith. Now, the three of them boat past you.
Yeah.
And so you happen to drive.
And the cousin doesn't see the three boats going out, so he going back home.
Yeah, he going back home. So the fact of the matter is that thinking and mindset and attitude of how we think about ourselves and how we perceive ourselves, it has to start from the top. See, you could tell me anything. Mal could say anything. But when I walk inside the room, I see how you look at me. Oh, Johnson, you here again? What is this you trying to do?
Right.
Oh, you trying to go ahead of us? I mean, because the whole world is our playground. The whole world. We're walking in the greatest financial season of our life. We're walking in the greatest financial information overflow in our life, in the history of our life. And what is getting ready to happen now, you're seeing a shift in the economy. You're seeing a shift in the whole economy of the global environment. And what is happening now, out of COVID, Bahamians have started businesses. Bahamians have gone global. Bahamians have done some things that outside of the box. If we didn't have COVID, if we don't have this crisis, they would have stayed inside the box.
Yeah.
See, crisis bring opportunity, but you got to see opportunity in the crisis.
Oh boy, because see, I was about to say, capitalism thrives in chaos, but like you say, the opportunity also thrives in crisis, right?
Right.
And oh boy, this is fascinating. But listen, you have me excited. You're going to have other people excited. But we can't just expect people, like sometimes you can't just expect people, they could hear what you're saying. They could realize that you're making sense, but they still need some help. They still need some facilitation to help them make those steps in a different direction.
But let me give you an example.
Right.
From the time I came back home from school, I've been empowering Bahamians to get started in their own business. I've been empowering Bahamians to be able to go and create their own pathway. You help thousands of persons get set up in business in terms of moving themselves to a different level. Some of their businesses are local, national, and international. And then on top of that, being able to understand that you could create your own pathway. You don't have to, daddy and grammy them work 40 years for the corporation, and when they retired, the pension didn't look good, the economy wasn't that bad, the kids were already finished college, inflation wasn't that high. So now what we're dealing with? We're dealing with inflation. We're dealing with a currency crisis, food prices going up, shortages in the workplace, in the work environment.
And the gray economy has shrunk entirely.
And shrunk entirely.
Yeah.
And so what happens now is people are waiting on an opportunity. Because let me give you an example. I came back home. I was sending out resumes. I became a rejection specialist with a bachelor's degree because I got tired of putting my resume out there and they telling me I overqualified. So what I had to do? I got education. I had to go there and create. So sometimes instead of us waiting for somebody to give us an opportunity, we got to create the opportunity.
Absolutely. But listen, I got a call on the line and I want to use an example. Let's sort of delve into this. I want to use an example that popped up over the weekend. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. You know, there's a study in the U.S. now about the effects, what's affecting inflation. And it has to do with because of the pandemic, right? And after, people not going back to work. People are going into business for themselves. And there being a work shortage, worker shortage.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And the industry need to produce these products or deliver them. You see, so, you know, my view is that you know, everybody are not going to, you know, capitalism itself is about labor. It's not about capital, it's about labor, right? And the cost of labor, you know, profits, our labor at its cheapest rate. You see, so we you know, it's an issue. Social health is the issue that we have to address. You see, we Man, just every, you know, you had a show just now about conservation or climate change. You know, and look what's going on. The guy talk about an erosion in Carmichael Road and not the issue in the place there in Bimini, Baker's Bay. You know, every development, every tourist development in this country, every house, that every subdivision that's built, you know, trees has to be cut down. Our trees is cut down. You know, it's about love. We need love. We need rest.
Right, but listen, I agree with you. We need love.
Right.
And here's what love drives, right? Here's what love and empathy drives, right? I appreciate what you're saying. Like, what is this conversation we're having about forestation and conservation when we know that every development in the country requires a tree or two trees to get cut down?
Right.
When you love...
Yes, right, and what he's talking about. He's talking about him being prosperous, or a group of people being prosperous.
No, sir.
Or entire nation being prosperous. See, that prosperity comes to the case.
I got you. But let's talk about that. I mean, I can talk about it. Thank you, producer. What I'm saying is, when you love, right? Because I see what you're saying. When you love, you say, look here, there's constant deforestation.
Yeah.
I can fill a space. I can fill a gap. I can be useful. I can be the best version of myself by starting a business to ensure that every time a tree is cut down, another tree is planted. Right? Like... These things are not mutually exclusive.
Let me give you an example.
Yeah.
We've spent so much opportunity and time in Nassau developing and bringing these big hotels, bringing hotels to New Providence. Imagine that we had 20 small micro hotels, let's say on Andrus, let's say in Long Island, let's say in Acklands. A lot of Acklands Islanders who work in the private and public sector, who descended from those islands, could go back home and they could redeploy themselves. They could be able to carry their families back to those islands because now you have economic development in those islands. Now you have those developments are tied into ecotourism. They're eco-friendly. They don't destroy the environment. And so now we've had development that came in the country that outstripped the population in terms of the skill set. So we had to bring in foreign labor. We had to bring in all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when these people want things to be done, we destroy the environment. Now we got to have environment impact assessment studies that don't destroy the environment and different kind of things that happen
right.
to us.
They don't approve projects
don't
that
approve
do that.
Projects.
Right.
So what do you have happened? The situation, let's say years ago, that happened in Freeport when they had all those industries. Well, certain part of Freeport where you live, majority of the people in those areas was developing cancer. And why was the cancer happening? You're living close to a chemical plant.
And a lack of a proper regulation.
Regulation. One of my professors in college wrote a book called Packing Them In. And it talks about environmental racism that happens in the inner cities where they put all these toxic plants inside these inner cities and right close to the cheap neighborhoods because of the cost. And a lot of those people were getting sick with all these different diseases.
Or worse, it's that the housing situation is such that the only place that the employees could afford to live
right.
is immediately next to the plant.
Right. And so these economic opportunities don't happen in a vacuum. And so what I'm saying is people could get opportunity. But opportunities have to be created. Let me give you an example. Why do people, and who the cap fit let them wear it, why do people take their hard-earned money every day? And they hear the slogans, everybody wins. A winner live here. You can't win if you don't play. These slogans catch these people's eyes, so they take their last hard-earned money. They go and play because they're looking for opportunity to be able to get wealth. And so if they're looking for opportunity to get wealth, they want to be able to... how to be able to grow their money so they could leave a legacy for their family. So
yeah.
opportunity is there. Why did a generation ago, Bahamian families who had 8, 9, 10 children, was able to survive and succeed? They taught us the sharecropper mentality. Whatever we had was passed down. Whatever came down had to go back up. And so that taught my father's young generation. When one person's house was finished, they went to the next person's house, helped them build.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have education, but they had the concept of togetherness.
Right. Plus, when you have 8 children, one got to be a doctor or nurse, one got to be an accountant, right, or work
uh-huh.
in the bank,
uh-huh.
one got to be in construction, masonry, carpentry, electric work, right?
Right.
You plan a family
yes.
with sense, and
yes.
then the sharecropper mentality. We help each other. I got the skill. Call your brother. Call your sister. Let's share resources.
We people do not know. According to I think it was either October or November. I can't remember. It's either 2017 or 2018. The Bahamas trades over $3 trillion. So this country ain't broke. Okay?
Yeah. We know that.
See, this country is a rich country. We're rich with resources. We're rich with in the air, in the sea, and what passes through our waters, what is underneath our waters.
Right.
The Bahamas is one of the richest countries on the face of God's earth. We are blessed with resources beyond compare. The question is, how do we participate? How do we own this economy? How do we own the situation where we... I hate the beggar mentality.
Right.
Because it's almost like when I come to the table, you only give me the crumbs, and I should be eating like a king at the table.
So listen, I'm excited. I'm waiting for you to tell me what to do next. Are you going to offer me a course where I could come in and sort of get certifications, sort of basic certifications, and step myself up to a space, right?
Right.
Or do you have a community academy where, right? Or a school where we could just come in and talk about these things in the evening on a weekly or a monthly basis? You can't just get people this excited, because I almost gone to Andres to go start selling Chicchanis for real. You just tell me a little imagination and audacity and I could get running. But included in that is that when you commit to governing yourself, you commit to policing yourself.
Yes.
Right? And understanding your own, the ethical line and your own moral line.
Right.
Is there a space where I could go now that I'm excited to learn more about what you're talking about?
And you know, we're going to be offering seminars and workshops, how money works.
Okay.
Alternative ways of making money. How do you develop this mindset now to be able to go into business? Because a lot of people set up in business, but they are not staying in business because they don't know the areas of business to be able to go into.
Right.
So how do we look at the market opportunities, the market
right.
trends? How do we be able to position ourselves? We teach, you know, over the weekend, I was at a blockchain business school. And to be able to see the young children inside that event, learning about coding, learning about how to develop code. So we got to get rid of this old idea of teaching, giving our kids 12 and 15 subjects to take for the whole month for school, instead of preparing them for the work world and entrepreneurship of the 21st century.
And then inculcating those subjects in it. So you thinking about engineering, like traffic and public infrastructure engineering, we focus on that and we bring the math element into it.
Absolutely.
We bring the science element
Absolutely.
Into it. I got you.
Absolutely. So to be able to develop that kind of mindset, what it requires, like, instead of taking all the subjects, we take maths, English, RK, civic, general science, and then you let the kids go into the particular area. So you let them go into engineering, robotics, development. You get them look at data management. You got to let them look at coding. Let them be able to create.
I got you. Listen, so let's go to this call. I got a couple of texts. And then when we're done with that, I had a conversation about the sort of viability of the local food truck market in the Bahamas, right? The food truck market in the Bahamas. And I want to discuss it with you. For since I got you here with me, and you exercise a lot of imagination and audacity. So let's go to this caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron. How
are you doing? I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. This is quite interesting this morning. Your show earlier and the show now. I'm a bit surprised that it changed over to more than that. But Aaron, before the show came on, what is the name is?
Hamilton.
Rocky was talking about we got to cut down all these buildings because where you get the fill from.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a builder, right?
And yes,
you know,
sir.
You're going to look at these buildings, all these buildings, and all this flooding and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I think back of the homes when they were wooden homes, those homes were built on stilts, no matter where you put it. On the side of the hill, on the flat land, you elevate it up so high, so the water could pass under it, and you ain't interrupting the natural flow of the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
When you take the landscape and cut it down to what you want it to be, to fit roads and to make these homes all flat, and, you know, it ain't going to work.
Yeah.
My answer to the whole question is, I mean, the solution is that our building code needed to revert back to all homes to be built with a crawl space. And that'll be determined by the landscape and like flooded areas. You would want to at least to lift that, say, 4 or 5 feet, 6 feet, so you can have even have an area they can utilize in the dry time. But then you can, when it really gets bad and flooding, or even like say Dorian like event, right?
Yeah.
You would have that kind of security to know that everything is getting flooded out, and you would be above.
Still there? Oh, it seems that we lost you, caller. Please call back. Very interesting contribution. So, like, sort of connecting the two shows, right? What I am excited about is what happens when Bahamians, particularly young people, realize that they are the CEO of their lives and they are the directors of their communities and their environments, right? And what ideas can pop up? Like you say, when you have that spirit, Mr. Wayne Johnson, when you understand your own potential and the power to create from, you know, your own ideas in your own hands, but you also see how you fit in to the environment, right? So you, I am powerful, but it doesn't mean that I overpower my environment, right?
No.
And what opportunities for construction, what opportunities for engineering exist? What could we create? What could we produce with this mindset?
You know, Albert Einstein said, imagination is more important than knowledge. Mm-hmm. Imagination can help you change your community, change a country, and change the world. We have a lot of people with knowledge, but we don't have a lot of people with imagination.
Uh-huh.
Because imagination, you can't see into the future. People ask me, how could I see into the future? I say, this is a God-given talent.
Yes.
I could see in the future and predict it. So all the different things that happen, I was talking about Andres being a digital city many years ago, a cryptocurrency. I was talking about that kind of stuff where we could redeploy people over to New Providence and create another city in Andres, because we get the land space, we could plant it, we could grow it,
mm-hmm.
we could be able to get it forecast and be able to put it there. And so when people say, well, I can't see that, I only see bush. I say, but when I look at, like, when I pass Andres and I go to Andres, I don't just see bush, I see a modern city where we could move a technical college there,
right.
a college where we are creating stuff instead of importing a lot of the stuff.
But a modern eco-friendly city where we get the world's leading environmentalists and engineers to come and build it, not because they think they own the Bahamas, but because they so desperately want to be a part of this space that they will commit themselves to preserving it as well.
But not only that, when you look at what they're talking about, this climate change thing, whatever they're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at what the Bahamas possess. Bahamas possesses, we come through the trade winds with the North Caribbean Sea and the Gulf of Mexico. And that's why when the aragonite is moved from the way it is moved, it is replenished. We have the best aragonite, that silk right underneath the sand. We have the best in the world. That's why it's priceless. Mm-hmm. That's why when you blow it off your hand, it's like gold,
mm-hmm.
okay? And so when you don't recognize who you are, when you don't recognize where you come from, when you don't recognize what is in the soil, man, I tell people when I walk around, I feel like I'm worth $1 billion. People say, how you could feel that? I say, because we're a rich country.
Yeah.
And so the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and many there be that dwell therein. Why do people from the outside, when they come to the Bahamas, they say, I could smell the richness in the air. Oh, your country is such a rich country. Oh, your country is so beautiful. Oh, your country is full of resources. Oh, your country. When the astronaut went to the moon.
Yeah, yeah. The Bahamas is the most beautiful place on the planet.
How do they find Earth when they come back? It's the beautiful crystal waters that is in our islands. And why is that? That is that because of the minerals that lies beneath
mm-hmm.
the Bahamas and the coral rock. That is trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars worth of minerals gone to bed in the country. So when people talk about we broke, this is a rich country, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Let's look at the scientific research on the Bahamas, the minerals, and the rocks, and the sea, and put the true value. We operate a $10 billion economy,
right.
A $10 to $12 billion economy. I said the Bahamas is supposed to be $100 million to $250 billion economy. That's how rich this country is. If we open up the country to industries and open up the country to opportunities, the green economy, the blue economy, the ocean economy, when we open up this economy, we would open up the economy where money could flow and opportunity could arise for us as Bahamians.
See, and then you have someone here like me who I don't imagine that we can do that without exploiting. Right? We could do that without destroying. We can extract this wealth and value without using exploitative models, right?
Absolutely.
And that takes imagination and audacity as well. And look here, this is fantastic. And so somebody's asking me, who am I talking to? They're very excited. Well, listen, we are talking to Mr. Wayne Johnson from Wayne Johnson International.
Yes.
Yes. A regular on the Guardian platform, a regular guest, an economist.
No, I have my degree in international business. I've spoken on economic issues in the country, inflation, you know, the debt, you know, cryptocurrency, blockchain, you know, business strategist.
But I want to say this guy is a business revolutionary, right? A finance revolutionary, because you're evolving the way that we think about power in this space. And the power isn't just that I have all the money. The power is I have the imagination to create new ways of spending that money, and I have the audacity to go out there and do it.
Let me just say this to you.
Yeah.
Billions and billions of dollars pass through the economy of the Bahamas.
Yeah.
The question is, how do we tax it? How do we collect it? And how do we make it beneficial to the economy? Tons and tons of goods pass through the Bahamas to go into Latin America. What taxes are we collecting off of that? Over two billion tons.
See, that's why
Over 2 billion tons of cargo. They have to pass.
We
are the gateway to Latin America. We are the gateway to the Caribbean.
But listen,
and so I tell people, when people say, oh, we're a part of the Caribbean, that's a lie. We're part of North America.
No, we're part of the Caribbean.
But the reason why I say that, right? Understand this. Understand, you got to understand the thinking. All my life, when it's time for me to travel, I ain't going north. But I'm just saying to you that the way how we are positioned, we are the gateway to Latin America.
Yeah.
We are the gateway to the economy. 9/11, financial crisis, the first economy to rebound, the first economy to be able to get a vitamin shot and a crusader shot was the Bahamas, because then anytime people are going to make investments down south, they always come and look at the Bahamas and see where the investment opportunity lie, and they invest in this country.
Absolutely. Listen, no, I was going to say, in the earlier conversation, that's why I petitioned that we turn or recognize major environmental landmarks as sentient beings, so as to apply stiffer penalties and collect greater taxes from that space. And that's exactly what I mean. The Mayaguana Channel, all of these channels that have historically, for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Or the Crooked Island and Acklands
Passage.
Right,
the Crooked Island and the Acklands Passage.
You know my sinking ships are there?
Listen.
Man, the people sleeping, man. We sleeping. All we doing, we sleeping like this. Like this. This is what we doing. We sleeping.
Okay, so let's get to this call, and then we're going to talk about food truck, man. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hey, Aaron, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. A namesake. Hey, there, namesake.
Hey, good.
Well, let me tell you something. You dead right. They was lying there from the inception. See, the problem in this country is we knew. Anybody who got basic education knew that Christopher Columbus didn't discover this Bahamas because he met the Arawaks and the Caribbean. We know this country is a rich country. And you'll be surprised to know these same politicians, we can try for treason. That's them hanging up. And all the land they selling, we can take this land back from them. We take them up all this land from these politicians and these pastors and these some of these civil servants. I know the country is a rich country, but our people lost. And nothing is going to change this country, my brother. And tell that Moses who got run out of this country. And time to take my call.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your passion for the country with us.
See, Google and YouTube could educate you on countries and information that you would not normally get, because sometimes it's hidden. They say the best way to keep information from a person of color is to put it in a book, because we ain't going to read it. When you educate yourself and you empower yourself and you get the tools, nobody could deceive you anymore. I'm interested in your food. I'm interested in that.
Yeah.
I'm interested in that. I'm an educated person, and I can think, I can act, I can do things for myself.
Absolutely. But sometimes we need a little help getting there.
I know.
Right? But I'm hoping somebody has the audacity to imagine themselves to be a teacher and a leader and step out there, because there's so many Bahamians with knowledge, right? There's so many Bahamians that have the power and the capacity to help somebody take two steps forward. You know, sometimes somebody just need to divert to the right. They just need to turn right and walk down that road. And there's so many Bahamians, they just need to believe in themselves.
And then you have to have faith in your ability that you could be able to do it. The question is, a lot of our belief system, the system crushes you when you don't think a particular way, when you don't act a particular way, when you don't toe a particular line. I've always been a maverick.
Yeah.
I've always been a maverick. I never, when I was in college, My professors, them come and they brought documentation and they brought information to me. I didn't just swallow it. I questioned them. I argued with them. And I said, oh, what you're saying to me doesn't make sense based on A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Yes. And so
listen, I got this text here. It says, if we are so rich in aragonite, how come no one is mining it presently? Please ask the gentleman to Google aragonite imports into the U.S. from the Bahamas. Now, I want to take this text, right? Because I want to say, first of all, perhaps what is happening is that you can only see value in economic extraction, right? Like you can only see value in the money that it generates. And that I understand that. Let me tell you how I know aragonite is valuable and how our aragonite is perhaps the most valuable on the planet. Well, first of all, Texter, I stood on rocks in the Jolta Keys. That's North Andres, off, right? That's off the mainland. But in between the mainland and the barrier reef, I stood on rocks that did not exist when Christopher Columbus sailed through these waters. You hear me? And so we have two types of land formation in the Bahamas. We have a rapid land formation that you see taking place in places like Mayaguana, where boat captains have had to rebuild docks. Not because the water has overtaken the dock, but because the land has outgrown the dock.
Yes.
Right? So we got that rapid land formation. And then we have a slow land formation when aragonite or uitic sand gets pushed over the seawater level and it gets hit by fresh water. It calcifies and it turns into rock. That speaks to the value. You can't pull the money out. But you could create new land. You sitting here crying, you could be Arabia. You could be creating new islands, right?
Yes.
Because you have that raw product that is so valuable. But let me tell you how I know that the world knows its value. When I was working at the Bahamas Environmental Research Center in Stanyard Creek in North Andres, the scientist came with his class from university and told us, look here, when my husband asked me after 10 years of saving, what do I want for my honeymoon? I told him, I want you to send me to the Bahamas to go study uitic sand. She ain't say, come with me. She ain't say, let's go, you know, on the best vacation ever. She say, my life's work. I gotta go to the Bahamas and study that.
Right.
So I hope y'all could see, use your imagination to be able to extract other forms of value.
Yes.
And to see the potential of what we could do with this little bit of sand that ain't selling on the market.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And when you look at even the salt, but let's get back to the economic development. The economic development on the family islands, where you could have economic development, where we got the eco cottages, where we get Bahamians building. We're building our capacity now.
Mm-hmm.
We have engineers who are building environmentally friendly hotels and concept. We have engineers who are building data centers. We're running a new fiber optic. I believe we need a new fiber optic line through the Bahamas,
mm-hmm.
where we could run our data and our storage and run a lot of stuff. There's disaster preparedness where, let's say, when we have a hurricane, and let's say the major pipeline just go down, we need to have a third pipeline where we could take our storage and take it offline,
mm-hmm.
and protect ourselves. We need to be able to conserve more power that our power don't go down. And these are the kind of things that we know futuristically when hurricanes and natural disaster comes. The Bahamas, there's certain things that happen. So we got to prepare ourselves so we're not caught with our pants down.
Right.
We're not caught always in panic mode, but we are prepared. And so when you plan properly, you could be able to predict the future. They said, Peter Drucker said, the best way to predict the future is to create it for yourself.
And so you
got to be able to create something. I'm not interested in you coming into my house and you telling me you need to do this, 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 and this. And I say, yes, boss, yes, master. No, I come with my plans and I say, this is the strategies where we want to go. How could we partner? How could we make this a reality? Mm-hmm. How we can make this happen for us, where all of us could benefit? Because
right.
you said, this is what we say. You said, we say it's better in the Bahamas. And the islands of the Bahamas just keep getting better, but we need to make it better for everybody in the Bahamas.
Absolutely.
And Bahamians.
Absolutely. And that starts with creating a more resilient citizen, right? Not just climate resiliency, but citizen resiliency by imbuing them, right? Pouring into them, not the things, but the knowledge, right? The confidence that you have this within you.
But look, we have a Bahamian, a young lady this weekend. She was at St. Andrews, I was told, by a gentleman in the mall.
Mm-hmm.
She is working for NASA as an engineer, a Bahamian young girl. And she came back home to learn about coding.
Yeah.
We have Mr. Papal, who graduated from St. John's. He's leading one of the biggest firms in Dallas, Texas, the Beck Group. Mm-hmm. And so don't tell me Bahamians can't do it. Don't tell me we don't have the capacity to be able to do the things that we need to do. We can't.
Right.
We've shown it every level.
We got a boy named Valen Bodie. I think Valen Bodie, when I first saw him, he was a judo international competitor. He's an athlete, right? And he's doing really well. Then I hear this young man coming home because he is a regional leading soil scientist. And not necessarily Caribbean region, but Americas, right? He's a soil scientist. And I just, like, there's so much talent that we just have to, like you say, use our imagination and see where they fit in and how we can all be, how we can all use each other for the benefit of the whole.
See, they say the owner of Flagler City, Mr. Flagler.
Yeah.
He said there was something unique about these people from the Bahamas called Bahamians.
Yeah.
They built a particular way. They built the city of Miami a particular way. And they did some things. He said the Bahamians who are coming here to build, they are a different set of people. So we are a different set of people.
Yeah.
Our mindset, our thought process. When we go, we don't come to spectate. We don't come to sit on the sideline. We come to get in the game. We come to get in the game and win big. That's what Bahamians do. So don't tell me Bahamian ingenuity can't work. Don't tell me Bahamians don't have creativity. Don't tell me we can't get things done. I believe collectively, when we put our minds and our hearts together, we can accomplish and achieve anything we want to achieve.
Okay, see that part there. Collectively, when we put our hearts and our minds together. See, what I was planning on talking about today was duty of care, right? Sometimes when you are on that cutting edge, sometimes when you are charting new courses, sometimes when you're navigating the unexplored world, right? The unimagined ideas, you don't have to practice ethics on the cutting edge. Absolutely. And sort of remember this duty of care. That's what I wanted to talk about today, right? And so I want to remind people, though, like, yes, you have the power to imagine and create, right? You have the power to imagine and the audacity to create that which you imagine. But I also want to beg you to do these things, like you say, as a collective, with our hearts and minds, remembering the whole, and moderating ourselves when necessary to ensure that this is to the benefit of us all.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every disappointment is an application for an appointment. All the rejects what I got, all of the no's what I got,
yeah.
It was a part of my journey to push me toward a place called success. See, people don't see success. People think living a big house and a big car and having whatever. You know what success is? Carrying out your assignment, what you are called to do, what you are made to do, what were you created to be and do. That's what success, true success is. Carrying out your assignment and living in the now and living in the moment of where you should be, what you should do, how you could be able to do it. That is what true success means to me.
All right, so I want to get to some text, but
go ahead.
I want to ask you this question. Is your group, are y'all prepared to partner with Ministry of Education or youth organizations to bring this message to junior high and senior high students?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me tell you what a lot of people don't know. I had a mentorship program at Claridge Primary for grade six boys.
Yeah.
They go through a 6 weeks leadership and communication program. At graduation, these boys get certificates. Some of these boys never graduated from primary school. Mm-hmm. Some of these boys never graduated from junior high school or senior high school. You know what some of these young men are today?
Yeah.
They're plumbers, carpenters, electricians. They're in the barbering business. And you know what gives me great joy? When I see those young men say, Mr. Johnson, even though I struggled to make it through school, even though I struggled to finish junior high school and senior high school, when I look at your certificate, because I've gone through that, the motivational talks, what you had with them, you never gave up on me. You always were giving me an encouraging ear. I'm somebody today. One guy jumped off the truck, almost broke his arm. He said, this is my teacher, this is my coach, this is my mentor, this is Mr. Johnson, this is Mr. Johnson. You know how good that make me feel?
Yeah.
Because guess what? If I wasn't going into those classrooms and going to those schools and didn't give up on those young men and kept going, I didn't get no support. I was in three schools at one particular time. I was in Richland Primary, I was in Centerville Primary, and I was in my alma mater, Claridge Primary. At graduation, these boys got the certificate. COVID and a lot of stuff changed and stuff, but
yeah.
I want to go back in. But I'm saying the kind of information that you gave these young men, you taught them about grooming, developing themselves, developing the right kind of mindset. They can make it. It doesn't matter where you come from. I grew up on Ida Street, one of the most dangerous areas in Nassau. But I said, I can make it. I can succeed. I don't have to be a gangster. I don't have to be out there selling drugs, doing dope, robbing, thiefing. I could be somebody. So you gotta have that kind of mentality and that kind of forthwith to be able to do some things and make some things happen.
And that's a skill that young people desperately need right now, the ability to imagine beyond their current circumstances, the ability to imagine their best selves even when they feel that they are at their lowest or their worst, you know?
Absolutely.
This is fantastic. Okay, so I've got some text here, right? And first text, I got to read this. As long as you work for someone, you are not CEO of you. And I want to challenge that, right? I want to mention Spence Finlayson, who took the Junkanoo model, right?
Uh-huh.
Junkanoo into the workplace.
Right.
Because he realized that there's something about Junkanoo that pulls out of the best out of our people, right?
Right.
And I want to say this to this texter. That's not necessarily true. When you look at the Junkanoo space, right, a lot of people have a job where they report to work and they get a paycheck so that they can finance the life that they have imagined for themselves.
Yes.
Tons of artisans, musicians, they have a regular job so they could do what it is that they love and makes them free. And we don't want to diminish that, right? We don't want to diminish that at all. Sometimes a part-time job or one job to facilitate what it is you love is the best option for you at the time, you know? And don't discourage people from that. I got another text that says, great show as usual. If someone have 10 kids in today's society in Nassau, the world be a fool. I want to discourage that as well, right? Just because you can't imagine how you would take care of 10 children or what the purpose, right, of these children are. Now, I'm not saying just make babies because you could make babies.
No.
We're not saying that. But what I'm saying is put yourself in a place where you can imagine what the best outcomes for that family.
Your family could become a business. Your family could become a corporation. Your family could be able to imagine stuff, create stuff. You know, people act like I had a silver spoon in my mouth. I had to hustle. I used to sell lollipop. They used to call me the candy man.
Mm-hmm.
That's my story. I used to sell lollipop. I made $190.50 of selling lollipop for 25 cents. And that's how I was able to pay for my GC. I went to college with one tuition payment, my mother's love and my father's anxiety. I had no government guaranteed scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
I had none of these things. You got to go there. If you want it bad enough, you can go there and get it. If you want to sit on the sideline and wait for somebody to give you bread and cheese, you can get that. But if you want it bad enough, you'll crawl, you'll swim, you'll dive off the mountain to get what you need to get.
And they're adults. When you hear the young person asking for help, don't turn to them and say, if you really wanted, you could figure it out. They are figuring it out, and they come into you for help. So us older people in the community, stakeholders in the community, when you see young people making that move and they come to you for help, that is them using self-determination. That is them trying a thing. And we're not saying do it for them, but certainly support them and give them as much support as you can. I think that's very important. As well, I got another text here. It says, is your guest a millionaire since he would have bought Bitcoin years ago? The person say, I hate this revisionist projecting of financial returns. Texter, listen, you ask Elon Musk all these questions? Right? You ask Elon Musk all these questions. And I didn't mean to be rude. I don't want you to think
But I can tell you something. I will tell you this right now.
Yeah.
So many millennials in this country who got into mining of Bitcoin and doing data management and IT services and consulting big companies around the world. We have a lot of young millionaires right in the Bahamas who got in the game early with Bitcoin, and you will never know because they act like a normal citizen.
Yeah.
I run in contact with them, and they keep tapping me. Johnson, keep up the good work. But you know, I do an A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and I say, man, more power to you. So what I'm trying to say, people saw opportunity and they jump on top of opportunity. What happened is we murmur and we complain and we do nothing. We sit on the sideline of do nothing and expect things to happen. Before anything can happen, our mindset has to change. Our mindset and our thinking have to change. You know, you could change your thinking to change your life. And if you don't change your thinking, you could never change your life. Opportunity will never come to you if you don't go looking for opportunity. It'll never find you because some people just don't believe that nothing good is going to happen for them.
Because listen, I need to say it. It is 11:57 and I need to say it. Square groupers is not an opportunity. Square Group is the only thing that could float by you, float up onto the shore, and that is not an opportunity. And we got to get out of that mindset as well, like you say. You got to get out of that, well, you didn't say, I saying that, but that mindset that you sit here and the opportunity will come to you. No, the opportunities are there waiting for you. From you, it's like, it is like magic, right? Use your imagination. From you get up in the morning and say, good morning, opportunities, I come in to find you, you'll be surprised what you find on this road.
I'm going to share this story with you. There's a young man who years ago, I saw him in a barbershop, and he showed me a drawing. And I said to him, as a young man, do not go to college. Mm-hmm. This is going to take you around the world. This is going to be your dream ticket. This is going to be where you're going to be known internationally with members of parliament, with governments, with queens, with celebrities, with presidents
around
the world.
That's what you tell Jamal Roll?
That's what I told Jamal
Roll. That's what you tell him, eh?
In the barbershop right on Robertson Road. Jamal Roll. And so sometimes when we see young people potential, the old traditional way might not be good for them. We have to push them on a pathway and encourage them.
And don't abandon them because they don't take the track that we took.
There's a young man. He went to school in New York. I think he plays the trumpet. You know who's one of his mentors and coach? He grew up right in Lincoln Boulevard. Winston Marcellus,
mm-hmm.
A Bahamian young man who lives in...
Hold on. Who?
Winston Marcellus, the Grammy Award winner. That's the Bahamian young man's coach in the trumpet.
Yeah.
Who plays the jazz.
Yeah.
Grew up right there in Angleston. And he was discovered by Mr. D'Aguilar, who plays the jazz.
And he's now being mentored by Marcellus?
Marcellus. And so when we look at opportunity, if we don't push our opportunity, we will never find it.
Absolutely. Listen, this has been a pleasure today sitting in on Guardian Radio AM for Mr. Cecil Newry. I hope that this discussion was motivational for you. I am excited about the potential, and I need y'all to know, I was getting ready to go on one long boat far away from this place. Because, you know, Gnep's and Mango's short this year, very heartbroken. But this has fired me up, man. And I hope that it's fired up other Bahamians. We didn't get to talk about the food truck. That's okay. We're going to get to that another day. I have to beg you back because I think the potential in that, like what I imagine could be possible with that is so exciting. Mr. Wayne Johnson, thank you for joining me. And to the audience, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for texting and sharing your thoughts and concerns. I got one last text. Employees, gotta go. Have a great day. Sorry, Texter.